Take your Bibles, please, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5, we'll read verses 3 through 12 together. Matthew, chapter 5, we'll read verses 3 through 12 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us in this place. Father, thank you for our preacher. Thank you for our church. Now, God, there are hundreds and hundreds of people in this room. There are hundreds and hundreds of individual needs. There's no way that human flesh could meet those needs, but the Holy Spirit could through our preacher. Please work through him in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." We're going to use that one verse tucked inside what we call the Beatitudes for this morning's sermon. If you're a guest here today, I have been the pastor of this church for 2 years and 69 days. We are still in what we would call a transition. A great man pastored this work for 35 years. I stepped in and took over again 2 years and 69 days ago. Often during the change of pastors, there is contention. I see it. I see it all over the country. A new pastor comes in, and for some reason, the new pastor and the people, they don't gel, or the new pastor and the old pastor, they cause one another grief. That has not been the case here. The best way to describe our transition is peaceful. We have had a peaceful transition, almost perfectly peaceful. We've not had one person in our church rise up and attack me or attack the new administration. The new administration's purpose has not been to attack anybody here. We've just tried to do the will of God. Now, I don't like to fight. Honestly, I would prefer not to fight. I believe the Bible teaches there are times when there must be war so that it may usher in peace. And so, not all war is wrong. Don't get that idea that all war is wrong. There are times when you need to proclaim war. And we will if we ever have to. And I'm glad that we have a president that is not afraid to war. And there has to be war to bring peace. I will fight for what is right. You can be dead sure of that. But I don't want to fight you. I want to fight for what's right. My real enemy is the devil, and I want to fight him, and I'm not afraid to fight him. But I would rather love than fight. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I prefer that. But let me tell you this morning, if I could, why I believe our transition has been so smooth. Now, not just why a transition would be smooth, but let me tell you how to smooth out your life a little. Let me tell you something that will help you. It'll change your life. Let me tell you something about the Christian life. Let me give you a label that I wish all of you could hold, a title. It'll take me just a moment to get there because I want to use a passage of Scripture to launch us into it. But the title of my sermon this morning is this: Be a Peacemaker. Be a Peacemaker. Now, Matthew chapter 5, that which we just read, verses 3 through 12, as you read it, these are called the Beatitudes. Now, a good way to define the Beatitudes is these are attitudes that ought to be. These are the kind of attitudes you're supposed to have. Notice it says blessed over and over and over again. One thing I want to do is I want to define that word blessed for you. The word blessed, it means to be content. If you're going to be blessed, if you're going to be blessed, if you will, you're going to find yourself content. And I want you to look right this way. Look at me, if you will. I'd rather you not take notes while I preach. I want to talk to your heart, not to your notebook. You can be content if you find this thing called blessed. You can have joy in this thing called blessed. You can have peace tucked into this thing being blessed. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, or blessed are the poor in spirit. So you can find contentment, you can find joy, you can find peace. There is an element of satisfaction found inside this word blessed. Fulfillment is there. Happiness is there. God is saying, if you want to be blessed, if you want to have a blessed life, blessed are they, it says, that mourn. In a moment, I'm going to quickly describe those to you. But let's understand, when it says blessed, it's talking about there's contentment and joy and peace and satisfaction and fulfillment and happiness. And there are so many people who don't have those things. If you sit here today and you say, Brother Owens, I don't have contentment. I'm not content with my life. I don't have real joy. I don't have peace in my life. I'm not finding satisfaction. I'm living a life, but I can't figure out why and what's it really all about. I don't have fulfillment. I don't end my day saying, what a great day it was, and I'm not happy. Then you must have something missing. Maybe we could find that. Now, let me describe some of these. Remember, they call them the Beatitudes because they're attitudes that ought to be. Let me just glance real quickly at some of these attitudes that ought to be. But we're going to lock in on one special attitude in a second. But it says here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you what that means. When it says poor in spirit, what it's really talking about is that you have nothing to offer spiritually that is adequate to get you to heaven. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you don't get you to heaven. Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. Blessed are those that realize they're bankrupt spiritually. They have nothing to offer in exchange for heaven. What is that? You know you're a sinner and that sinners die and go to hell and their only hope is Jesus Christ. So there are all sorts of people that think they can work their way to heaven. Let me tell you something. The people that are working their way to heaven do not have real joy. They're always troubled about their soul. You don't work your way to heaven. Somebody did a work, and that work was a finished work by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I have joy over my salvation. It's done. It's settled. I'm born again, and I'm not worried about it. People that think that they work their way to heaven are just like this all the time, worried. They're trembling all the time, worried. Am I not? Well, I am. I am born again. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. So when it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, happy are the people that realize they are spiritually bankrupt of any good thing to get themselves to heaven, but it was Jesus Christ that made their way to heaven. Now that person will be happy. I have contentment in my salvation. I have peace in my salvation. I have fulfillment, and I am happy. It says theirs is the kingdom of God. It's talking about they're the ones that are saved, and they're okay. It says blessed are they that mourn. Now, how in the world could mourning be a part of this thing called blessed or blessedness? Let me explain. Mourning now helps us to help others who mourn later. As you go through the mourning process, if you build the right kind of relationship with God, as you mourn, it's going to train you and enable you to be a blessing to someone else later when they're mourning. Nobody can comfort someone who's lost their daddy like someone who's lost their daddy. And you ought to decide that as I mourn the loss of something, I will learn from it and it will enable me later to become a blessing to someone else. So, you see, mourning can actually bring blessedness. Mourning times help us to see how good we had it before we mourn. Again, last week I preached a sermon. Do you understand when you're in a valley, for every valley there are two mountaintops? And when we go into mourning, it helps us to realize how good we had it before we began to mourn. Someone that's mourning ought to be saying, thank God I had time with my daddy. Thank God I had time with my mama. It reminds you, the dark spots remind you of the light spots. The clouds help you to appreciate the sunshine. And so, happy are those who mourn. Then it says, blessed are the meek. Now, meekness means evenness. A meek person is an even person. The Bible teaches that a woman should have a meek and a quiet spirit. Let me read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. It's talking to a lady, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of a great price. Meekness is this. Meekness is not to feel less than anyone. Meekness is just forgetting yourself, looking up to no one, looking down on no one, just you're very even. You see, here in this church, you're going to find something out. If you're worth $1 million, you're no more important than Brother Tennis, who's worth 35 cents. You know, there are some churches you can join. If you got a big wad of money in your pocket, that makes you special. That does not make you special around here. Having a bunch of money does not impress me. You see, here, if you drove in a fine Cadillac this morning, I'm glad you're here. But if you rode your bicycle to church, you're just as welcome as a person that drove a Cadillac. If you have fancy duds on today and you've got a Hart, Schaffner and Mark suit on that cost you $1,200, you're welcome here. But if you came into church today and you've got the best that you have on, by the way, something decent, but if you just wore the best that you had today, that's okay. Meekness, I want a church of meek people. We don't look up to or down on anyone. And the Bible says, blessed are the meek. Then, the Bible says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. You have an appetite for food. Later on, we'll get out of here and you get to go eat. One of the most wonderful things about Sunday is lunch or breakfast or supper or snacks. But, well, every day. But you get to eat. You have an appetite. The Bible says, happy are those who have an appetite for God. Happy are those who have an appetite for the Bible. Happy are those who have an appetite for church. Happy are those that have an appetite for preaching. You will have a happier life if you have an appetite for the things of God. If you're not happy today, if you don't feel blessed today, I'll guarantee you, you don't have an appetite for the things of God. That's what's missing in your life. Or maybe it is you're not a meek person. You think that you're better than someone. Now listen to me. If you want to be happy, you better get this thing called meekness. If you want to be happy, you need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you want to be happy, you need to mourn properly. Yes, you will hurt, but you need to allow that mourning to help you to see that there is sunshine that's been made available to you, as well as you learning to help somebody else someday. If you want to be happy, you need to get born again. Stop trying to work your way to heaven. Let Him save you and get some peace about your final destiny. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful. Very simply, that means blessed are the forgiving. I think you need to learn to forgive people. Happy are the forgivers. Those of you that don't forgive, you're miserable. Blessed are the pure in heart. What's it talking about? Your heart in the Bible, it's not talking about the organ. A few times it does, but most of the time it talks about your heart. Your heart is the seat of your emotions. And blessed are they that are sincerely doing the best that they know how according to the Bible. God is saying, blessed or happy are the people that are doing the very best they know how. They're sincere about doing what they're doing, and they're doing it according to the Bible. The Bible says, blessed are they who are persecuted for doing right. You know, some of you, you'll be teased by your family or belittled at work or attacked for doing right. God says there's a blessing in that. Hold your head high. They did the very same thing to Jesus Christ. But as we go through these attitudes, that's not the sermon today. But God said, there is available to you contentment, or joy, or peace, or satisfaction, fulfillment, or happiness. And how do you get them? You develop these attitudes, the be attitudes. They're attitudes that ought to be. You get born again, and then you learn to properly mourn and to be meek. And then you learn how to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and to be merciful, and to be pure in heart. And then you take the persecution that comes your way properly. But the one I'm interested in today is this one. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers. Oh, great joy comes if you are a peacemaker. Let me ask you a question. Would anybody call you a peacemaker? Could someone say, that person, their presence brings peace? Their attitude is an attitude that is a peaceful attitude. I got to studying the word peace here, found in Matthew chapter number 5. That the Bible is teaching us here. It's saying, if blessed, and I'll use the word happy, and remember the whole definition, but I'll use the word happy if I could, please. The word peace here, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. It's saying, happy are the people who band together relationships that are separating. You see, somebody that's a peacemaker comes along, and there's a relationship that's being hindered. There are two that ought to be close, but life and the devil and bad attitude and unconfessed sin or whatever is parting them. And they're parting. They're separating. And God wanted them to stay together. The peacemaker is the one, as a relationship starts to part, the peacemaker is the one that says, I'm going to bring that thing back together. Churches need to be filled with peacemakers. Homes need to be filled with peacemakers. The place where you work, it needs a peacemaker. Brothers and sisters need somebody that's going to be a peacemaker. And boy, isn't it amazing how the devil comes in our life and we start to get away from somebody we love and somebody we're to treat properly or with dignity. We start separating, and the word peacemaker there means somebody that comes along and bands a relationship back together. I have here a rubber band. Can you see it? That's a macho rubber band. That's a big rubber band. This rubber band will illustrate it. If two people were having a bad time and their relationship, they were distancing themselves, God says somebody needs to band that relationship back together. And so I begin to grow apart. But somebody comes along and they put that band on the two parts. And I'm connected again like I'm supposed to be. You ought to be walking around with spiritual rubber bands helping to put two things back together. One of the reasons why our church has had a peaceful transition is because that was the plan. To band things together. I know churches. I was just with a missionary. I sat with a man, and he said to me, Brother Owens, what's your missions work like there? And I began to brag on you and talk about your giving to missions and the missionaries we support. He said, have you dropped any missionaries? I said, we've only done away with a couple. And I said, we had some that left the field, and we did that. I said, but I'm taking my time. I want to make sure that's done right. He said, Brother Owens, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. He said, I've been a missionary for years. He said, I know pastors that will go in, take over a work, and drop all the missionaries, and then re-decide who he wants to support and drop them all. I said, that would not be peaceful. He said, boy, I appreciate that. For instance, I know men that'll go in and take over a work, and the men on the platform could tell you about it. They go in and take over a work, and they let go the entire staff. The entire staff goes, they let them all go. Fire, resign, whatever it is, they all go, and he rehires who he wants. That's not real peaceful. We've had peace because we decided to have peace. We decided to be peace peacemakers. I want to be a peacemaker. I want you to learn to be a peacemaker. And what does it mean? Two things that are separating. Now, let me tell you something. Sometimes there are two things that ought to separate. You ought to separate from the world. You ought to separate from certain things in your life. But wait a minute. There are a lot of relationships that the devil comes, and he begins to separate us in those relationships. And somebody needs to salvage the relationship. Somebody needs to band that thing back together. Let me tell you about some of those. For instance, and remember, happy are the peacemakers. If you're here today and you are not a happy Christian with contentment and joy and peace and fulfillment, you're missing one of these attitudes in here. Probably you're not a peacemaker. And I want you to get that in your life. I think I would like to be a peacemaker in our community. Our church is in Martinsburg, West Virginia. And I would like to be a peacemaker. You all know this. Here at our church, we invited all the police officers and anybody in law enforcement. We brought them to our church. You remember that morning, 60, 70, something like that? Men in uniform. They came here. We gave them a nice gift. We sent them out to a restaurant in the area. I would like to be a peacemaker. I don't want to start a war with the local police department. I don't want to do that. Not at all. I don't want that. I want to be a peacemaker. And I'll tell you something. We've had police come out here on the property since, and maybe they came to help us with some little legal detail, and it is amazing how they treat me and how I treat them. They see me in the community. They say, Pastor Owens, how are you? How are things going? We're not at war with one another. I want to be a peacemaker. We invited people from the local fire department to come out. Treated them with dignity. And now, you listen to me, if any one of these organizations wanted to have a drunken party, I'm not going to support that, and I'm not for that, but I'm not out to start a useless war with them. I don't think that's smart. Why would I want to do that? We brought the firemen out and the EMTs, and we gave them a nice gift, and we were kind to them. Somebody said to me, they said, Brother Owens, I know some of the local officials, and somebody said something to me about a certain code that went along with the fire code. Well, let me explain something to you. If the fire marshal comes here and wants to talk to me about keeping our building safe, I'm not going to start a war with him. I don't want to start a... Hey, listen, I want to go along with the fire marshal. I'll flat out tell him. I'll say, look, I love the people more than you love the people. You don't even know my people. Why wouldn't I want them safe? Sure, I want a panic bar on my doors. Sure, I want proper exit signs. Sure, I want things done right. There's no sense in me starting a war with the fire marshal. Now, if the fire marshal come out here and try to tell me what to preach, he can hit the road, Jack. That's my business. God tells me what to preach. God tells us how to take care of the business of our church. But wait a minute. When the fire marshal comes to me and says, I would like to suggest, I'm ready to listen to that suggestion. Why? The purpose is to keep you safe. I love our people. I want them safe. I want to be a peacemaker, if you will. We have vehicles. We have a fleet of vehicles, 10, 11, 12 buses and vans. And they asked us to put a West Virginia Department of Transportation, and what do they call it, a DOT number on all of our buses. Well, we're glad to do that. We're happy to do that. And as we finish buses, we're putting those numbers on there. I know some that would say, we're not going to do that. Listen, I'm not out to start war with them. I want to do it. I want to do it the right way. When they talk to us about our vehicle inspections, I want it done. When they inspect that vehicle, I've got children that I love and teenagers that I love and adults that I love riding on those vehicles. I don't want them unsafe. I want them safe, Brother Bajan. I want every vehicle here to pass every inspection that they give us. Now, if they come here and try to tell me how to run my Sunday schools, they need to move on to not even greener pastures. They just need to move off of my pasture. But I'm not looking to start a war. But we have some neighbors next door here that own this big mobile home park. The property over there used to belong to this church. Well, I went over and I met those neighbors. And I thought, I want to be a good neighbor to them. They don't know me. I don't know them. And they own a bunch of property over there. And that's all in the past. But I recently got this letter from them. I want to read it to you. This letter comes from Whitestone Estates. It says, Dear Pastor Owens and Church, We wanted to express our appreciation for your thoughtfulness. The flower arrangement was lovely. I came into town, and not long ago, I wanted to get to know them a little bit. I sent a very nice flower arrangement to them, and I said to them, I'm your new neighbor, if you will. I said, and I want you to know, I know it's not easy to be a neighbor of a big church like this. We have bus kids, and we make some noise over here. I said, I just appreciate you tolerating and putting up with us. And it says, the flower arrangement was a lovely gesture. As you know, we are well acquainted with the church and the school, and therefore want to be supportive of your ministry in any way. When new residents move into Whitestone, I often recommend that they visit the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I tell them that their families would benefit from this contact. Thank you for continuing to be a light in our community. The Lord is coming soon. We must continue to be fervent, spread the gospel, and encouraging one another in the faith. If we can assist you in any way, please don't hesitate to call. And that is from the Martins next door. Now let me explain something to you. If the people that own the trailer court next door came here and tried to tell me how to run my church, they're not going to do that. But I want to be a good neighbor. I want to be a peacemaker. I'm not trying to start a war. I want to be a peacemaker, and that's how it ought to be. Let's see. You take building codes and all that. I want to do it all right. Brother Spielis, do me a favor. Come up here for a second. Let me show you exactly what I'm talking. Brother Spielis is a fireman. He didn't know I was going to do this. But Brother Spielis, I want you to know something. It is not my goal for... I don't want to fuss with the fire department. I don't. That is not my goal. By the way, Brother Spielis is grandfather, his name is Smokey Bear. He's half animal. This is Brother Spielis is a fireman. Now listen, we had a little fire here. Well, actually a big fire here. We had a burn where we took a whole bunch of nasty music and everything that we got out of our homes, and we started a great big bonfire out here. But may I tell you something? Before I started that bonfire, we thought it the considerate and the proper thing that we went down to the fire department and we said to them, we're going to start a fire. How would you like us to handle that? Now, I could have said, why can't I do what I want to do? And nobody's going to tell me how to do it. Now, there are some things they're not going to tell me how to do, but I thought that was the right thing to do. If I would have wanted to, I probably could have started the war. I could have had the police out here and the fire department out here and them saying, you bunch of knucklehead, independent, fundamental Baptists, what's wrong with you? Why won't you go along with the rules? Well, I want to keep the rules that are good rules. I don't have any problem with that. So you know what I did? Brother Spielis, you represent the fire department. You put that around your wrist. I came along and I banded us together. I brought peace because I did not want there to be war. I made sure I made peace with my community. Now, if my community someday doesn't like something I preach, I'm sorry. I give answer to God about that. But in my community, I want you all to do? When you leave the property, we have some people out front here that are reserve police officers. They're there to keep you safe. I would like you to follow their directions. Let's keep peace on purpose. Let's not start unnecessary wars. Thank you, Brother Spielis. You can have a seat there. You see, I want to be a peacemaker in our community. You ought to want to be a peacemaker. Let me ask you a question. Are you a peacemaker? Would anyone say, you get around that person, and they're wanting to bring peace to certain situations. For instance, I think you ought to be a peacemaker in the church. We spend a lot of time around each other. If you're a visitor here today, let me tell you something. Our church, we believe in building your entire life around the church. I mean, we have activities, and there's something going on 52 weeks out of the year around here, not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We've got our Martinsburg Christian Academy and activities, and I can't remember how many Sunday school classes we have. We have about 80 different Sunday school teachers and assistant teachers. They all have activities. We're busy. We have our school and activities and our choir and our Sunday school classes and our church services and our bus routes and our deaf ministry and our youth ministry and our soul winning ministry. You know what the devil would like to do? He would like to create division in our church. But the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Happy There is contentment and joy and peace if you'll be a peacemaker. The devil would like to cause division, and he would like to get your help. But you ought to decide, I want to be a peacemaker. I want to have one of those attitudes that ought to be. Now, we're going to have to learn to be patient with one another. We've got people that are growing in the Lord. You're going to have some folks come into our church. They're brand new. They just got saved. They don't know how to do everything. They don't know how to act in every given situation. And some of you that have matured a little bit and you know a little more about how to behave yourself, you're going to be patient with those people while they grow. Now, there's some of you, you've been around long enough, you know how to act. You know what you're supposed to do. It's time for some of you to start growing, but we're going to have to learn to be patient with one another. Let's be careful, though, that we are peacemakers in the church. Don't leave your Sunday school class because you can't get along with somebody. Be a peacemaker. You be a peacemaker, which means somebody, you say, me and this guy, we're not getting along. Okay, somebody needs to become the peacemaker. Somebody needs to drop their guard, do away with their ego, put their pride on the shelf. Somebody needs to decide, I want us to be band together. That does not mean that you have to agree with their sin. It means that you want to fix the relationship. You don't want the relationship destroyed. You don't want the relationship severed. You want to continue to be friends. And so somebody's got to be a peacemaker. Don't leave the church. Say, well, I just can't get along with so-and-so. Somebody needs to be a peacemaker. I'll promise you, every person, when I find out they're thinking about leaving my church, I immediately go to them and I become the peacemaker. I say, what's wrong? How can I help you? Well, what could I do? What question could I answer? Now, remember this. You won't tell me to stop preaching anything and me listen to you. I give answer to God about that. But I will come to you, and if I find out you're getting ready to slip out, I'll come see you. And probably not only me, but I'll probably send some other peacemakers by, and we want to figure out what could we do to help you. We want to make peace. We're not looking for war. We can't change what the Bible says. If there's something that you don't like about that, your problem is you don't have peace with God, and you need to go to God and become a peacemaker by getting your heart right with Him. But if you're offended, if something's, some problem has arisen, we want to be peacemakers. Don't leave your bus route because you can't get along with somebody. Don't leave the ministry if you're helping in the youth ministry. Don't wear your feelings on your cuff and get offended and get your dander in an uproar. Become a peacemaker and band that thing together. For instance, Brother Bajan, come up here for a second. Brother Bajan has a Sunday school class. Brother Bajan, put this on here. Brother Bajan has a Sunday school class, but so does Brother Young. Brother Young, come up here. Both of these men have adult Sunday school classes. Now, you know, I'm going to guess are there some people in Brother Bajan's Sunday school class you wouldn't mind having in yours?
Yes, sir.
Brother Bajan, are there some people in Brother Young's Sunday school class you wouldn't mind having in yours?
Keith Leonard.
See what I mean? God is in this place this morning. You see, we have 15 different adult Sunday school classes. And if you're not careful, folks, one teacher is going to get upset with another teacher, or a student in one class is going to get upset with another, and you're going to say, well, I'm leaving this class. I'm upset with somebody. I'll tell you what, fellas, I want to be a peacemaker. I want to band you together, not tear you apart. And so these guys are banded together. I come along and I say, Brother Bajan, listen, Brother Leonard, he's been in Brother Young's class for a long time. I know this, Brother Bajan. I know that if Brother Young didn't have a class, I really think that Brother Leonard would probably pick your class, because I know that Brother Leonard respects you and loves you. And I know Brother Young respects you and admires you. And you know what, Brother Young? Brother Bajan's a very decent man. He's just trying to build his Sunday school class. He wants to get everybody he can. Hey, let's praise him for all of his energy and excitement about the things of God. We've got some teachers that won't do anything to build their class. And I'm so glad you're both building classes together. What am I doing? I'm a peacemaker. I'm a peacemaker. But you got churches packed full of troublemakers. Just packed full. Well, I don't like this. I don't like that. My feelings are hurt. Grow up. Grow up. Don't cause division. Cause unity. Now, there are some things we're going to divide from. I'm not going to put my rubber band around the wrist of people that are preaching false doctrine. I'm not going to put my rubber band around the wrist of somebody that's out promoting alcohol and immorality. I'm not going to do that. You won't hear Brother Owen joking up with TV or Hollywood or rock and roll. I'm not going to do that. I'm not to yoke up with those. I'm to separate. But wait a minute. Two Sunday school teachers are supposed to get along. They're to, and hey, and I'll tell you what, Brother Bajan, if Young here is acting like an idiot, you may have to be the peacemaker. You may have to figure out a way to rubber band. But actually, when I looked up that word peacemaker, it actually means banding together that which is separating. And a peacemaker is somebody that bands it together. It may need to be you, Brother Bajan. It may be you, need to be you, Brother Young. Hey, you, let me ask you a question. Are you the peacemaker? Are you the peacemaker? You fellas can take that off unless you enjoy it. Thank you. I want to be a peacemaker in the community. I want to be a peacemaker in my church. I want to be a peacemaker. Somebody needs to be a peacemaker in your marriage. It doesn't always have to be the husband. It doesn't always have to be the wife. But listen to me and look right this way. Every married couple here, look at me. Let me tell you when your marriage will be destroyed. It's when neither one of you are willing to be the peacemaker. Let me tell you what needs to happen. Anytime the husband's in a tizzy, wife, you ought to decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to be the peacemaker this time. And if it is the wife that's in a tizzy, the husband needs to decide, I'm going to be the peacemaker. No relationship will hold up unless somebody decides to be the peacemaker. Now, if you want to keep your marriage together, when she's all bent out of shape, but you just get real flexible real quick and you become a peacemaker. That's what you've got to do. I'm not saying he's right. I'm not saying she's right. I'm saying somebody needs to say, I'm going to band this relationship together. I don't want it to separate anymore. I'm going to heal it as quickly as I can. Don't yell back. You know something? Most of the time, it only takes one person to end an argument. It just takes one. One person has to spiritually snap into maturity and say, I don't want to fuss about this. I'm just going to shut my mouth. I'm not going to answer back. I'm not going to talk back. I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to defend. I want to bring peace to my marriage. All it takes is one person, listen to this, all it takes is one person in a marriage to say, honey, I'm sorry. A sincere, I'm sorry. But it's when neither one is willing to say, I'm sorry. It's when both, their pride has risen up and is destroying them, because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's why you don't have contentment in your marriage. That's why you don't have joy. That's why you don't have fulfillment. That's why you don't have peace, because you're not a peacemaker. And the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. God's going to bless them. Somebody needs to be a healer. Somebody needs to be like the balm of Gilead, which healed your sin-sick soul. Somebody needs to say, I'm going to be bigger than this. My love for you is going to be stronger than your hurt toward me, and I am going to overcome this. I am not going to allow this to destroy us. Somebody's got to get big enough. There are relationships teetering on disaster in this building this morning. I don't know who they are. The congregation does not know. But God is speaking to your heart right now. And I'm telling you how you can fix your marriage. One of you need to decide, we're going to be peacemakers. I'm going to get this thing together. A marriage could be salvaged if somebody would become a peacemaker. John and Brenda, come up here for me, will you? John and Brenda, one of our fine married couples from our church here. Brenda's fine anyway. This is a fine couple. They love the Lord with all their heart. Good folks. Brother John, put this on your wrist there. I'll tell you something. If John and Brenda are fussing and are fighting, and Brother John, if Brenda's got a big old frying pan out chasing you around the house, if that's happening, you probably deserve it. If you catch him slapping one time for me, amen. But boy, if Brenda's being contrary, if Brenda is just, if she's throwing a fit and she's hard to handle, let me tell you what you do, John. You decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a peacemaker. And band yourselves together. Say this. Say, come on, honey.
Come on, honey.
Let's get close.
Ah.
We banded them together. Brenda, it may be Brother John. Boy, he may get home from work and he's mad at everybody and everything. Everybody he worked with all day long kept on talking back to him. Which really ain't possible because he works for Brown's Funeral Home. But if ever it does happen, he is not going to be in a good mood when he comes home, I'll guarantee you. Hey, if John's had a hard day at work, and boy, I'll tell you something, ladies. When your husband gets home from work, that's not the time to pile all the negatives of the day onto him. Oh, the toilet won't flush. The kids have diarrhea. Everything went wrong all day long. Oh, the poor man. He's been at work all day long dealing with that at work. Give him a moment to settle in before you chop his head off with the negative. Boy, he gets home, but I'll tell you what. If he's had a rough day, and he gets home, and it's tough, once you decide, I'm just going to be the peacemaker. I'm going to be the peacemaker. I'm not going to let this relationship sever. I'm going to bring this relationship together. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to be peacemakers. Somebody's got to band this thing back together. You can take that off. Thank you, John and Brenda. Thank you very much. A peacemaker. What is it? A peacemaker is somebody that bands together that which is separating. Remember now, there are some things you're to separate from. There are some things, I preached it up on friendship here. Some of you built some friendships that you should have never built. They were not biblical friendships. Those ought to be separated. But there are some of you, when you're a husband or wife, let me tell you something, you're to be banded together. That's what the wedding band is all about. It's an endless circle. There's not to be a break in it. You said for better, for worse. You said for richer, for poorer. You said in sickness and in health. You said till death do us part. Your only way out, man, is to shoot him. That band is never ending. It is a circle. You're to be banded together. That means you're going to have to learn to be a peacemaker. And God knows, men, I understand. I'm married to a woman. I wouldn't have it any other way. You got to qualify that in this day and age. Be a peacemaker in your marriage. Hey, children, you need to learn to be peacemakers. And moms and dads, you need to learn to be peacemakers with the kids. When children are growing up, let me teach you one of the things that you need to make a part of your child rearing. Teach your kids from Matthew, the Beatitudes, and teach your kids how to become peacemakers. Your children need to go out on the playground and get in a scuffle with someone and learn how to make it right. It's not vengeful, hateful, let's kill someone. No wonder we have such a mess today. The Bible's no longer taught in the home. You go to the public school and you got to worry about somebody stabbing you in the back or shooting you. And it shouldn't be that way in God's church. We should have grown up a long time ago. We need to learn to be peacemakers. Be peacemakers. Children will fuss. It's a part of growing up. I know me and my brother. He was always wrong about stuff. We're trying to teach children to share. You ever heard the song? Sharing, sharing. That's what Christians do. We're supposed to share. We're supposed to get along. Let me tell you, so many times, children treat one another like they watch their parents treat each other. Stop sometime when your kids are screaming at one another and ask yourself where they learned that. Or it's the way parents treat the kids. Now that's not always the case, and I understand that, but listen, there's a lot of learned behavior going on. But we need to learn to be peacemakers with the children. You know, brother and sister relationships are very important. They prepare you for marriage. Brothers don't really have any power over sisters, and sisters don't really have any power over brothers. It's kind of a neutral relationship. And some of you young ladies, you need to learn how to treat your brother, and some of you young men need to learn how to treat your sister with dignity and kindness and propriety, and stop being so hateful, and learn to treat each other right. You sisters need to learn to treat each other properly. You young men, you brothers need to treat each other properly. And you buff kids back here, you pay attention. Look right up this way. Pay attention now. I corrected you about 2 weeks ago. Look up here at me and pay attention. The people behind you would like to listen in the service. Every once in a while, there has to be war if you want peace during the service. But brothers and sisters need to learn how to treat one another. Listen, every brother here, you're to serve your brother. Serve him. Every sister here, you are to serve your sister. It is not to be a war to see who can get what they want out of the other. What's some good child-rearing advice? Teach everybody in your household to be a humble, meek servant of God and serve one another. Why are we so competitive? It's because we're full of pride. We want to take care of ourselves. Teach brothers and sisters to pray for one another. Teach brothers and sisters to treat one another with dignity. Teach brothers and sisters to treat each other right. Teach them how to compromise and work things out. The divorce rate is rampant in America because in our homes, moms and dads are not teaching boys and girls how to work it out. Work it out. Somebody be a peacemaker, and you start them when they're young. Somebody's got to get big enough to say, all right, it hurts, but I don't want the relationship severed. I believe I can heal this thing. And in a little time, it gets a little easier to deal with. Well, teach your kids to be peacemakers, not troublemakers, peacemakers. Let's see. Nathaniel? Where's Dorcas? Come on. Nathaniel, Dorcas, come on up here and help me. This is the brother and sister. Nathaniel is the brother. These are some of our fine young people. Nathaniel, put that on your wrist there. Brothers and sisters can fight like cats and dogs. Amen?
Amen.
We used to have a rule at my house. If I hit my brother, that's my business. If you hit my brother, that's my business too. Nobody could beat my brother up but me. That's my territory. Jerry Horn gave my little brother a bloody nose. They were playing, we couldn't always play hardball because our houses were so close together, so we play what we call wiffle ball, you know, with a plastic ball. My little brother came home, he had blood all over his face. I ran up the street, I grabbed that wiffle ball bat and beat the holy stuffings out of Jerry Horn with it. And I told him, I said, Jerry, nobody bloodies his nose but me. Y'all know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm doing this because Dorcas is always beating Nathaniel up, and I'm trying to help the family. Brothers and sisters, get to fussing and fighting. Let me tell you something. You two need to love each other, and I know you do. You need to stick together, and you need to love each other and respect each other and watch out for each other. That's really what it's supposed to be like. And Dorcas, there come a time when he's going to be contrary, he's going to be hard to deal with, and you're going to say, but Brother Owens, he's such a dumb bunny sometimes. We know that. We know your burdens. But you know what you might have to do? You might have to say, Dorcas, you may have to say, you know something, that's my brother. And I don't want our relationship to go apart. I'm going to be a peacemaker. Sometimes, Dorcas, it'll mean you just don't talk back. You just be calm. You decide to forgive. You decide that you want to get along. Nathaniel, there may come a day when Dorcas is a little hard to deal with. She may act like a woman someday. But if that ever happens, go out and shoot yourself. Because honestly, son, there's no way around it. Boy, I ruined some really good Bible this way, you know it? You say, Brother Owens, are you a male chauvinist pig? No, I'm a male chauvinist hog, and there's that difference. Honestly, treat one another with dignity. And one of you someday are going to have to choose to be the peacemaker. So what do? Nathaniel, you say, Dorcas, I'm sorry. And then you band yourselves together. You become the peacemaker. I won't make this last very long, okay? When the Bible talks about being a peacemaker, the Bible is saying something that is separating needs to be brought back together. There are some things we are to separate from, some sinful things. But there are some things that we're not to separate from. You're to keep your marriage together. Brothers and sisters are to stick together. You're to stay close together in the church. We're not to go out and start a war even with the outside world unnecessarily. So many churches bring on unnecessary grief. I'm not going to go on their turf and start a war. Now you come on my turf, we're going to start a war. I'll protect this church. I'll protect the morality and the reputation. I'll protect the integrity of this church. I'll stand out and I'll thunder against sin. But my purpose is not to start a necessary war. Thank you. Thank you very much. Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker between the children. Hey, be a peacemaker in regard to our school. Don't cause grief with the school. And school, let's not cause unnecessary grief with people. It's so easy. We can get to griping about little things, and instead of being a peacemaker, we become a division causer. Here's what I've been told for years. If you don't like somebody, tell them to start a Christian school, and they can die a slow death. The biggest grief in fundamental Baptist churches across America are schools. Now, they're very necessary, and they're very scriptural. Because we are commanded to train our children, the Bible. Our kids should not be learning from the heathen. The Bible very clearly states that. So we have a Christian school, but they're a big headache. Why? Because if you get some problem and a parent doesn't want to be a peacemaker, they want to be a troublemaker, then you got a problem. We've got to be a peacemaker. Every parent in here, anytime there's some problem in the school, you ought to come in with a rubber band and say, Brother Bush, let's band together on this thing. For the sake of the children, let's band together on this thing. Now, we had I can't believe this. Somebody came to me and said, Brother Owens, do you know that somebody spread a rumor about our school that we have taken the Bible out of our school? What a dumb bunny. By the way, if you're the one that spread the rumor, you're in trouble with God. We took the Bible out of our school? We're putting so much in, half of you are gagging on it. You want to learn the Bible at school? You want to have a Bible to prove everything? You want to live the Bible? Yeah. Students at school, be peacemakers. When there's some problem, student, go to the teacher. Teacher, go to the student. Band together and say, we're not going to let this thing cause disunity. We're going to work it out. We're going to figure out how. We're going to put aside our pride. We're going to put aside our ego. We're going to put aside our preference and our opinion. And be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker between, hey, listen, you parents, be a peacemaker between, for instance, your husband and the children. Some of you men need to learn. No, you ladies. You ladies need to learn to stop bad-mouthing dad to the kids. That's bad news. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. But whatever you do, don't spend all your time, mother, talking down to the children about the father figure. He does, whether he does it well or not, he does represent God the Father in the home. And every dad in here, you ought to realize you are to be a picture of God the Father in your home and start showing up for church and start living right and start doing right so your wife could respect you a little more. But ladies, you be careful downplaying the authority figure in the home. And if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. But I'm telling you, you will ruin your kids by getting them discouraged about authority. It's time for some of you, hey, if one of the children and dad are having a hard time, mama be a peacemaker. Help to get it together. Don't drive the wedge deeper. Well, you know how your dad is. I'm a brilliant woman and he's a stupid man. You'll ruin your family that way. You will ruin your kids that way. I may tease around with the opposite sex, but ladies, you can be assured Brother Owens respects you. You'll be treated with dignity. You will not be made merchandise around here. We will teach ladies that your body is a sacred thing and very clean. It's a very pure thing. You won't be made merchandise. You won't become advertisement around here. We don't believe that way. I respect ladies. But ladies, let me tell you something. Be careful not to destroy a man when you ought to be a peacemaker between the kids and your husband. Husband, you ought to be a peacemaker between your wife and the kids. Don't badmouth your wife to the kids. Parents, get right with God and stick together. Build parental authority in their sight. Don't destroy your child's opinion of one of the primary authorities in their life. If I had time, I was going to bring Brother and Mrs. Tennis up here. Then I was going to bring Tucker down. Tucker Tennis is one of their children. I was going to say, Mrs. Tennis, you and Tucker, you always build Dad, and I know you do. And Brother Tennis, you and Tucker, you always build Mom up in the faith. Never take your child aside and destroy Dad or destroy Mom to them. Very unwise thing to do. You band together. Band together. But Brother Tennis, Brother Bajent, come up here for a second. Let me show you what a lot of you are like. Put that band on. I have here a razor blade. Let me show you what a lot of you are like. You go around everywhere you can, cutting bands. Your gossip, your bad attitude, your negativeness. You wonder why you're having a hard time in your marriage and having a hard time in your family. You wonder why you're not getting along with people. You've got a two-edged blade called your tongue. You got a sharp spirit. You got an attitude that's not one of the attitudes it ought to be. I believe there are a couple people in here that are gossiping up that you'd like to bring the unity in our church to an end. If not, you wouldn't be talking to your family like you do about us. You'd like to take that old knife and you'd like to cut it. You'd like to cut the banding or the peace. And I'll promise you, the devil's walking around with a razor blade everywhere he goes. He's trying to cut the band between a husband and wife and cut the band between father and children and cut the band between children and children and cut the band between staff members at the church or cut the band between two choir members or cut the band between a friend and a friend. That's the way the devil is. Thank you, fellas. You can have a seat. Peacemakers band together. We ought to be peacemakers with our in-laws. Send them a nice letter. Bomb. Letter. I'm sorry, a letter. I was going to bring Megan and Edmund up here. They're to be married in a few months. I was going to say, Megan, you're to be a peacemaker between Edmund and your mom, and you're going to need about 18 of these rubber bands right here. Where is she? And Edmund, you're going to need to be a peacemaker between your mom and Megan someday. But let me tell you what some of you are like. You're a peacemaker with the in-laws. You cause war, don't you? Be a peacemaker in your neighborhood. Get along with people. Stop being so petty. Well, their dog was in our yard. I hate them. I have proof he was there. I had a next door neighbor. His name was Bob. Not from account temps, but Bob. No matter what, I could not please Bob, but I tried. Whichever way my downspout for water from my yard was pointing, he didn't like it. I tried north, south, east, west, tried to bury it, hide it, rechannel everything. But I'll tell you this, I was a peacemaker. When the children's ball went over in Bob's yard, you would have thought that he had radar.
Ball in Bob's yard, ball in Bob's yard.
I'd go to the door and I'd knock and I'd say, Bob, the ball's in your backyard.
Oh, great. I wish you didn't have kids.
I'm sorry, Bob. I can't put them back. Now we already have them. I didn't spend my time making war. I live in a subdivision. I put a little grate on the pipe that runs underneath my driveway so water could come under it. I got a nasty letter from my subdivision. Said because you put grate over that pipe so it wouldn't get clogged up with leaves. Got a nasty letter. Now, I was destroying the whole subdivision because of that little 8-inch piece of screen that I put on there. My wife called. She said, honey, they are mad, and I think you ought to go tell them. You know what I did? I called the guy. I said, I use the term doctor when I'm trying to pull rank. I said, this is Dr. Owens. I said, I got a letter from you. He said, yes, you did. I said, I want to apologize. I did not realize that I had done wrong. I've taken that grate off. I'm sending the subdivision $100 to replace the gravel you feel like I washed away. He said, well, that's not necessary. I said, oh, it is. And if you need more, you just tell me how much you need. I'll give you all you need. That's called being a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker at work. I was going to have Sheila Yates and Kathy Conaway come up, and I was going to show you how two laborers ought to band together. Hey, be a peacemaker for the Lord. Be a peacemaker. How about this thing called salvation? Do you know what a peacemaker is? A peacemaker is a soul winner. Because there are all sorts of people here that don't have peace with God. They don't have peace with God. They're not born again. And what do? We go out and tell others about Jesus Christ, how they can be born again, and we help them to gain peace. Get real peace. I think Keith Leonard, about a year ago, I had the privilege of leading Keith to Christ. I was going to bring Keith up and band him to the Word of God and show you how a soul winner bands someone to Christ, and they were separated. And to get peace in their life, they get born again, you band them to Jesus Christ. Ask yourself this question. Are you a peacemaker? I want all the peace I can get, never at the expense of my convictions. Don't try me. I'll mount up for war, and I'll fight. But until then, if we'll all just behave ourselves, we won't have to worry about it. Let's let the war come from the outside, not the inside. Because we're peacemakers. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.